Hey there, everyone. Welcome to the channel. It is Denise. Happy Tuesday. Thank you guys so much for being here. It is July 5th, and today we are going to be chatting NXT 2.0, the Great American Bash. This podcast is sponsored by Wrestle Rumble. And I feel, you know, it's so weird, but I feel like it's been forever since I've been here on this channel. And the reason I say that is because it was a very, very long weekend. So the last show that I was here for was my Wednesday AEW Dynamite coverage, and then I'm usually here on Fridays, but this past Friday I wasn't here because I was in Las Vegas covering Money in the Bank, and so I feel like it's been an eternity. So I'm very happy to be back here once again. I'm still a little tired coming off of Las Vegas for some reason. I just got really tired. I think it's the heat. It is so dang hot in Las Vegas that it really just it kind of tires you out, to be honest, having that amount of heat. But either way, I hope everybody enjoyed their four-day holiday weekend, and we're pretty much getting things started here today. And already I'm seeing people's comments saying that they enjoyed today's episode of NXT 2.0, the Great American Bash, and I gotta agree with those people that say that. I thought today's show was a pretty good one. I thought there were a lot of good matches. There's going to be some exciting things to talk about. For the most part, it felt like a pretty decent show here today. It gave us a lot to actually talk about. And there's certain weeks where I come on here and I'm like, oh my God, how am I going to fill up, you know, a more than a 45 minute show? And, you know, I actually feel like there's things to talk about on today's show, which makes me very happy. But before we get to all of that, I just want to remind you guys all that this is a very interactive show. Please take part in the chat and let us know what you guys thought of the matches, of the show, and all of the things that we discuss here today. On top of that, if you want to make sure your question, comment, or statement gets read on this podcast, and you also want to help support me, help support the show, you are more than welcome to send in a super chat. A super chat guarantees that your comment, again, question, or statement gets read on this show. All right, everybody, so let's get to it. We're going to kick things off with, I think, what's going to be the most talked about item of the day, and that is the opening match of the night, which was Toxic Attraction, JC Jane and Gigi Dolin against Cora Jade and Roxanne Perez for the NXT Tag Team Women's Tag Team Championship belts. So, obviously, with Toxic Attraction defending their championships. Now, I kind of feel like this one, a lot of people were already expecting to see Cora Jade and Roxanne Perez get the win. I feel like it's not so much that we're like, oh my God, they got the win. I think it's more so of like, yes, they actually did it. They went through with it. And I feel like for the most part, I felt 99.9% sure confident that they were going to give them the championship belts, but you obviously never really know until the moment actually happens. But I really legitimately think that they made the right call to make these girls champions for multiple reasons, some of which we've already discussed here before. One of those reasons legitimately being that Toxic Attraction was kind of getting a little bit stale in terms of, you know, we kind of rarely didn't get to see Gigi and JC really defend the tag team titles. I kind of felt like we were seeing a lot of the same thing. There really wasn't anything like too fresh and new in that with them as champions. So I kind of feel like we were ready to move on. On top of that, we then had this like birth of the team of Roxanne and Cora Jade. On one hand, you had Cora Jade, who for the most part has started to make a name for herself on NXT 2.0. She had a little bit of a down period, but now this is kind of her getting back up there where I think they prefer for her to be in the spotlight. And she's a very likable girl. On top of that, you have Roxanne Perez, who's kind of coming in here into WWE, into NXT 2.0, like a firecracker. And by that, I mean, you know, she's coming in here and, you know, she's already was a fan favorite the second that she came in, and she quickly wins the NXT Breakout Tournament for the women. And now here she is holding gold, and we'll talk more about what's happening with Roxanne Perez. But you essentially have both of these girls combined together into this tag team. And you have a win-win situation. One, you have young girls that are legitimately talented, they're good, and they're likable. And not only that, combine together. They actually have chemistry. They look good together as a team. It makes sense to have them as a team. So I feel like overall, it's a win-win situation. It also brings something fresh to NXT 2.0, because for the longest time, since NXT 2.0, Toxic Attraction was really the focal point for a very, very long time. So now it finally feels like we're going to go into a new direction with Roxanne Perez and Cora Jade as a tag team. So I was very happy that they went with the direction that I think a lot of people were hoping that they went in. And I do want to talk a little bit about the match itself, though. I thought the match, for the most part, was okay. It was fine. I think, obviously, the big moment was the actual finale, was the actual win and all of that. The match itself was okay. I do want to talk. There was one of the parts that I liked was I really loved the Enziguri followed by the knee to the face from Cora. From Cora Jade to Gigi Dolin. I really liked that little portion of the match. We ended up seeing Mandy Rose try and get herself involved in this match, so the referee kicks her out. Loved that too. Get her out of there. Let it be like a straightforward match. The only part that I kind of thought took a second away from the actual finish was towards the right before Roxanne hit the pop rocks, there was a kind of Cora Jade went in. I think she was trying to do like some sort of spear attempt or something. She was trying to take out JC Jane, but it looked very, very weak. And in the end, it kind of looked like they just both threw themselves out of the ring. So I did kind of think that took a slight little bit away from the actual finish. But once Roxanne hit the pop rocks and got the win, it was like, oh shit, here we go. We got brand new women's tag team champion. So aside from that little glitch right before the actual finish, I thought this was an okay, fine match, but I'm excited to see them as champions. Before we get to your guys' comments and your guys' thoughts, there's another whole layer that we need to talk about in regards to this, because following this match, we ended up having a backstage interview with Roxanne and Cora and Mackenzie Mitchell, and Roxanne Perez ends up making this big announcement. And the announcement is, you know, she starts saying how, you know, so much has happened in WWE since she got there. A lot of things are moving really fast. Look at her. She won the breakout tournament. Look at her. Now she's holding gold as a tag team champion. So she basically kind of feels like she's on top of the world right now. So she says that she is going to cash in her NXT breakout contract, and she is going to challenge Mandy Rose for the NXT Women's Championship. And this is going to be happening next week. Now, I know a lot of people are wondering, like, hey, is Roxanne Perez going to be a double champion? Is she going to be a double champion? I legitimately do not know. Part of me, I'll tell you this much. I feel like right now I'm leaning more towards, like, I think it would be really cool to have I think it would be really cool to have Roxanne Perez as a double champion, because it would feel new. It would feel different for that NXT 2.0 brand, especially for the women. It would feel different, right? Specifically speaking for them. So personally, I think it would be pretty freaking awesome, right? But part of me also thinks that it's definitely not going to happen. And the reason for that is I feel that they're going to be like, okay, well, first of all, I feel like the program between Roxanne Perez and Mandy Rose could probably go a little bit longer. I always say this, and a lot of people say this, you know, the money is definitely in the chase. Roxanne Perez could chase the belt for a little bit longer just to get more, you know, more of the juices flowing, right? And I also feel like they gave her the NXT Tag Team Championships because we already know that they probably don't think that it's her time just yet to become NXT Women's Champion. So even though I think that I think it would be cool and refreshing to have her as a double champion, I don't feel like it's actually going to happen. If it did, I would legitimately be very, very surprised, but I have a feeling it's not going to happen. And I know a lot of people are like, is it going to happen? Is she going to be a double champ? I don't think they're going that direction. I'm not saying she's not going to be NXT Women's Champion. I just don't think it's going to happen next week. I think there's going to be a little bit more until we actually finally get this crowning moment where she actually gets the championship. Plus, you know, she's just got there. She can actually, you know, her and Cora Jade, they can do so much as tag team champions, where Roxanne doesn't need the belt right now because she already has that tag team championship belt with Cora Jade. So it's very interesting, but again, I just don't think it's going to happen just yet, but I could be wrong. All right, so guys, thoughts on this. What do you guys think about Cora Jade and Roxanne Perez as tag team champions? Do you think we're going to see Roxanne Perez as a double champ next week? Let's see what people are saying. We got our first super chat of the night. This one is from Sheldon Jackson, who says, I think Mandy and JC might turn on Gigi due to Gigi taking the pin tonight. Also, at In Your House, Gigi wasn't in the car with them when they arrived. If they do start doing this thing where, you know, Toxic Attraction starts to break up, I'm not like totally, I think it would, see, here's the thing, is that I'm a fan of Toxic Attraction, even though, like I said, things got a little stale with them, I still am a fan of theirs, and I feel like they can have cool programs with, you know, other women on the roster. You know, there's still so much that can be done with them as a trio. So even though I don't want them to necessarily like fall apart and break up already, because I do think that there's still so much more that you can do with Toxic Attraction, but let's say they were to go that direction and actually have them break up, well, obviously there's going to be something there, because, you know, however they decide to do it, they're going to have a story there. So I don't want them to break up just yet, because I like Toxic Attraction together. I think they're cool, but I just think they got to spice them up a little bit more, because again, they shouldn't have gotten to the point where you were like, okay, I'm ready to see new tag team champions. I should have never gotten to that point for Toxic Attraction, but we got there, and we got there kind of a little bit fast, to be honest. But either way, thank you so much to Sheldon Jackson for kicking things off and sending the first super chat of the night. Let's see what else we got here. We got a lot of people saying that Roxy should definitely get the two titles and hold it. A lot of people are pretty much ready for it. Let's see what we got here. Feel Good Video says, isn't Cora going to be turning heel though? I hope she doesn't. I don't want them to do that. I wouldn't like it, because they could do the whole like Cora Jade turns on Roxanne Perez and screws her out of winning the championship, but it would be kind of dumb because they're tag team champions and therefore Cora Jade would essentially be screwing herself. So that to me wouldn't make sense. Down the line, will she turn on her? Possibly. That's bound to happen at some point, but I'm not expecting it anytime soon right now. So personally, I don't think it's going to happen just yet. All right, let's see what else we got here. This is from Fernando, who says, I would love to see Roxanne Perez win the championship. It's what I wanted for her in the first place instead of the tag titles. Yeah, I think a lot of us kind of felt that way, but I feel like, for example, it's like the go-to destination that you want is to be champion, right? Whether you're a man or a woman, whatever brand you're on, the destination is like you have the starting point and then you have the star location, like where the treasure's at. That is the top championship, right? But instead of just like getting her all the way over there, which they could have done, right? But I feel like her story, her journey could be a lot longer by having this point where she actually becomes, you know, gets to treasure and be tag team champions with Cora Jade and actually make something of that, and then eventually go for the women's championship. So I don't feel like I'm too upset about them like not rushing her to the championship, you know, because I feel like there's a lot to be had with her and Cora as a tag team. That's why I don't want Cora to turn heel. I really hope she doesn't. I think that they could do a lot of cool stuff with them as a duo. Brandon Rosenson's in a super chat saying, he says, it makes more sense for a series of matches to happen before Roxanne wins the title. It's too soon for her now. As far as Gigi goes, that could be a good storyline going forward after Mandy loses. Yeah, exactly. That could also work too. But I do agree with you. I do think here's the thing. I don't want people to misconstrue when I say, oh, it's too soon, because I don't want people to think like, oh, it's too soon for her to be champion. No, in the terms that she's not ready, that's definitely not it. It's more so of I want to enjoy the journey till she actually gets there. Like, for me, I feel like they don't have to rush it anymore. I feel like if they were going to rush it, then they should have not had her win the tag team championships and had her win the women's championship right away. For me, it's like either or. You either have her win the championship right away, cool, or now that we're going this direction with the tag team championships first, now I want to see, you know, I want to get the full story here before she actually moves on to that next step and actually becoming women's champion. I just feel like you're going to get a lot more storytelling and programming out of that is what I'm trying to get at here. So had they gone the other direction, shit, that would have been awesome, because I feel like that's the thing about NXT. And the thing about NXT is that you don't really see, I mean, you saw it. I mean, it was different for the NXT tag team titles when Pretty Deadly won. That was a whole entire different situation. Plus, they were also former NXT UK champions. You know, Bron Breakker winning the title for the men, that was also another, I would say, kind of a different situation too. But I don't really feel like you get, for the women, I really don't feel like we've seen, and you guys can correct me or if I'm forgetting somebody, but I don't really feel like we've seen somebody come into the roster that's new, not like a Mandy Rose, because Mandy Rose was already known. But I'm talking about someone who's new and then instantly becomes like NXT Women's Champion. I feel like we haven't really seen that. So if they do that, it would be different for that particular championship belt. But I don't think they've done that. Have they done that with anybody recently that I can think of? No, I don't think so. But thank you so much to Brandon Rosen for sending in this super chat here. Let's see what else we got here. We got a comment here from a Real Deal who says, Roxy, both titles not good for storyline. I know a lot of people brought that up too, especially because, you know, we've seen it in other, you know, other places on the roster or on the, you know, WWE brand, where people holding two bouts necessarily doesn't work out the way you thought it would. Here's the thing too, like, there's other women too on the NXT roster that are not only good, but are making their way up there too. You know, you still got freaking Kaylee Ray, Alba Fire. I think she's somebody that could be up there in that picture. You can do something with her, and they're building a bunch of the other new girls. Like, there's so many of them. So, you know, they don't necessarily have to go this direction right away with Roxanne just yet. Let her enjoy the tag titles. Isaac Looper says the tag titles are worthless. Let's finally have them mean something then. This could be the opportunity. Let Roxanne and Cora change the perception of the NXT women's tag team titles. Let's see. We got a super chat here from Fat Package 101 who says, do you know what the strange cryptic message in the QR code meant that was on the screen after Grayson Waller Mello match? All right, so let's talk about that now. That happened later on in the show, but because we got a super chat, we'll talk about it now. And all right, so for those of you who are like, what the frick are you guys talking about? What QR code? All right, so during the show, I think it was in the second hour or something like that, there was a QR code that popped up on the screen, and I saw it, and I'm like, I'm not going to scan it, because you know what I thought? I legitimately thought, oh, they're going to promote a credit card. Oh, they're going to promote WWE shop or something, like something dumb, or oh, it's going to be there. You click on it and you're going to get the event schedule. Like, I was thinking more in terms of, this is going to be something where I have to buy something, or it's going to take me to some sort of newsletter. Like, that's what I thought the QR code was going to be. So I didn't even bother scanning it, and I didn't even care. I didn't put any attention to it. And then all of a sudden I'm seeing all over Twitter that, you know, this code is everywhere. And I'm like, what now? Shit, when this happened? And that's when I realized that that was the code that I didn't scan. So anyways, the code basically was the numbers 8, 10, 11. Now, obviously, probably what a lot of you guys did, because this is what I did, was I just went on Google and I literally just typed in 8, 10, 11. And just the front page of Google is some, you know, Bible verse. And from the sounds of it here, it is something. Now, please, guys, I haven't read the Bible. I don't know anything about the Bible. So please do not take my word for this. This is literally what I'm getting off of Google. But there's like a John 8:10-11, and it says something about women, where are they? Has no one condemned you? No one, Lord. I don't know, man. I don't know how to explain this stuff. So here's my thing. This is either tied to this and it's some sort of like biblical thing, which I have no idea about, or it is a date, or it's there was even like later on, we saw a thing, a promo for Axiom, which a lot of people are saying that is A-Kid and his new character reinvention, and he's a mathematician. We'll talk more about that later. There were some people putting the connections that maybe this 8, 10, 11 somehow connected to him. I have a feeling that it is going to be something totally different on its own. But the only thing that I see pop up online is something about the Bible. So, with that being said, if you guys have any better theories as to what this is, send them in here. Thank you so much to Fat Package 101. And I'm sorry if I gave you the runaround here. Let's see what we got here. Okay, this is a good one. I saw this one on Twitter as well. And this is the alphanumeric, meaning that the 8-10-11 can also stand for HJK. Who has the initials HJK? Who has the initials HJK? I mean, I know HBK, but what about HJK? I can't think of somebody right now. Let's see what else we got here. Let's go through a couple more here. Let's see. I'm trying to see if anybody has any good ones here. This is from Pomi Wrestling. Says Rhea Ripley is the closest one. Debuted in August of 2019. Won the belt December that year. I don't think so. Man, I legitimately do not know. And I'm hoping we get some really good predictions here. But so far, I have a feeling it might be tied into the Bible stuff, or it might be along the lines of that HJK thing that people are bringing up about that. So I'm guessing either one of those, or maybe it's a date, maybe something important. But see, here's the thing though. Like, I don't know. Maybe it's a date. Damn, this is what I take, guys. We had a lot of math-related stuff, a lot of code stuff on today's NXT 2.0. And let me tell you something. I'm not a code breaker. I'm not a mathematician. Those are not in my skill sets. Let's see what people are saying. Someone help. Fat Package 101 sends in a super chat saying, if Mandy loses, does Toxic come up to the main roster? They would be a great main roster act. A great main roster act. And I did, like, I hate to say it, because I do legitimately think that Mandy Rose has done a phenomenal job with what she's been given on NXT 2.0. But I just feel like Mandy Rose going from the main roster over to NXT 2.0 is a huge step down. And I feel bad saying that because she has done a great job and, you know, she, you know, is holding the championship belt, but it is a huge step down. Obviously, you want to be part of the Raw or SmackDown brand to really be considered a top WWE superstar. And when you go from like already being part of that roster and then being set back down, I don't know. To me, personally, if it was me, I wouldn't like it. I would want to be on Raw or on SmackDown. Like, I'll just be real with you guys. So if they were to move up Mandy along with Gigi and JC, they could do a whole lot. And I feel like they could definitely benefit either the Raw or SmackDown division. I would like them on SmackDown because I still think that SmackDown needs a little bit more help in terms of just getting that roster, giving that roster a little bit more depth, both on the men's and women's side of things. But thank you so much to Fat Package 101 for sending in this super chat as well here. All right, and let's go ahead and see what else we got here. Zeno Hour says it's not biblical. AU says August 10th and 11th. That could be a thing too. Like I said, it could be a date, August 10th or 11th. What the hell is going on August 10th or 11th? Is that even like, what day is that? Hold on. Hold on, guys. Hold on. I wasn't ready for this. August 10th or 11th. Okay, that's a Wednesday and a Thursday. So that's not even on a Tuesday. Oh, man. Let's see what else we got here. All right. Christopher says, I saw something on Twitter and said it could be Brandi Rhodes. I saw that too. I did see that too. It was a pretty solid. I don't know if it was a solid theory, but it was an interesting theory. And I'm not talking about Austin Theory. I'm talking about the theory that it might be Brandi Rhodes. I did see that as well. All right. Let's go ahead and move on from here and see. But let's continue this, guys. If anybody else comes up with something better as what 8, 10, 11 is going to be, let me know. You know what I hate? Let me be honest. You know what I hate about these code stuff is that we're always, like, fans, we're always going to overthink it, right? We're going to overthink it, and then it's going to be something so simple, so plain as day, and everyone's going to be like, oh, that's what it was? Lame. Like, remember when the whole battery thing was happening with the diamond mine? Do you remember how everybody was like, the battery is now 20% loaded, it is 30% charged, 40, and we're like, oh my god, the battery, and what is it gonna be, and it's charging, and it's gonna be at 102 weeks. Then it ended up being the diamond mine. And I don't think it was worth all of our, what could it be? And here's our theory. Shelton Jackson sends in a super chat saying, thoughts on possible Satomura coming to America and becoming NXT Women's Champion and being the final boss in the women's division in NXT. I truthfully do not know, because I haven't really been following on that end of things as to what is going on with her. I do not know. So I feel like I can't really give you a good answer on that one. So I'm sorry, Sheldon. I didn't want to make you like waste your super chat on this one, but I don't want to give you like a fake analysis or something of something that I don't feel too comfortable actually giving you information on. But remind me next week and maybe I'll have a better answer for you. Thank you so much to Sheldon. Do not hate me. Sheldon's great. Let's see what else we got. Juan Ortega says, Denise Fierce Mathletes. Fuck math. Sorry. If there's any children here, I apologize. If there's any people in school right now, then you know why I said it. Guys, I'm sorry. I'm terrible at math. No. There's just some people that are not skilled in certain things, and that happens to be me. All right. Let's go ahead and move on from here. We got Pretty Deadly. They had a quick backstage, not a backstage promo. They had more of a vignette where they're basically saying that Essex is better than Paris, France, and you know, they're talking about it being like, They're pretty much putting it over, you know, where they're from and all of this, putting it over and being their old fabulous selves. All I gotta say is this, man. There's so much creative potential with Pretty Deadly. It's not even funny, man. Like, there's so many cool things that they could be doing with them in terms of, like, segments and, you know, skits. And obviously, we know that they're good in the ring, so we know that the matches would be on point. And we've seen it already, you know, whether you were watching them on NXT UK or on NXT 2.0, you already know that. And part of me, you know what? I'll be honest. Like, I know that I was really, like, rooting for the Creed brothers to be NXT tag team champions. I was really on board with that. Like, I was set in stone with that. I had, like, tunnel vision, you know? Like, it's Creed brothers or nothing. Like, that was what I was seeing. But now that that Pretty Deadly aren't champions anymore, I'm kind of thinking, like, damn, they should have kept the belts on them longer. Like, and I'm seeing it now. Like, in hindsight, I don't think that maybe they should have taken off the belts off of Pretty Deadly just yet. And I get it, you know, plans change, and you know, the plans were to make Creed Brothers champions, and we know Pretty Deadly kind of came in because, you know, MSK dissolved and they needed champions, right? And so that's where Pretty Deadly stepped in. But now that I think about it, I kind of would have liked them to keep the titles a little bit longer. And I don't know why. I think I was just so hung up on the fact that I wanted to see Creed Brothers become tag team champions. And now I'm thinking, you know what? We could have had that reign for Pretty Deadly last a little bit longer. We were going to get to Creed Brothers eventually. We were going to get to them eventually. I just feel like Pretty Deadly without the championship belts kind of took, it kind of really, you know, it hit the brakes on their momentum coming into NXT 2.0. It's like they came in, they were these hot, you know, MFers coming in here with their freaking fancy H&M / Forever 21 style clothes. And now it's like, yeah, they're cool and all, but I kind of wish that they had the championships. I'm a little upset at myself for only having tunnel vision here. Alrighty, so let's go ahead. And this is actually something else that people have been saying on social media. And this is a comment from Real Deal who says, Pretty Deadly should have been the new and by that I mean the maximum male models on SmackDown. I like to call them because it's 3 M's. Yeah, I think that would have been interesting as well to have something like that. They definitely fit the criteria, but at the same time, I think Pretty Deadly could do their own thing and thrive without having to be thrown into that male model stuff. All right. Sheldon Jackson says that it's not a teachable moment, Denise. Not a teachable moment. All right. And we got more people putting over Pretty Deadly for being charismatic, etc. And let's see what else we got here. Oh, I love everybody's predictions here on what they think is going to be happening for the 8, 10, 11. Is that what it was? 8, 10, 11? Yeah, 8, 10, 11. All right. Moving on here, guys. Our second match of the night. This was Wesley versus Trick Williams. Now, I got to tell you guys, I've loved the build so far to this match because I've said it before, but I really enjoyed that. I really enjoyed that promo from Wesley. And so I'll give you guys a little bit of some insight here. So we all know that Nash Carter is gone. no longer in WWE. We already know the whole, you know, the whole debacle that happened with that, right? So I was at Warrior Wrestling for in Chicago this past weekend, and Nash Carter, who is Zachary Wentz, was on that show. He was on that show. So I kind of like briefly spoke to him and kind of asked him like what he was thinking in terms of what they were doing with Wesley on NXT 2.0. And, you know, I won't, you know, say everything that he said because, you know, I would consider that personal, but he did mention that when he heard that promo from Wesley, the one that he cut, the very emotional one, he did tell me that he, you know, he cried, seeing Wesley go out there and say the things that he said. And so that was pretty interesting to hear. I'm not surprised because they were, you know, I'm assuming they're still friends. I don't know. They were our friends. I don't know. But I'm not surprised, you know, to kind of hear that. So anyways, that was just a little tidbit to throw in here because I figured might as well throw it in here. But let's talk about this actual match because, like I said, I really enjoyed the build to Wesley and Trick Williams, given how Trick Williams came out, called him out. They exchanged words. That was all good and dandy. Okay, fine. Now, the actual match itself was okay. I really liked I pretty much liked all of like the combo strikes, the combo of strikes that we got from Wesley. Fine again too. The ending. I want to talk about the ending because I almost feel like whatever else I wanted to talk about in this match kind of doesn't matter anymore. It has been kind of rendered moot because the ending to this match, I absolutely, absolutely hated. I completely disliked the ending to this match. Now, let me preface this by saying that I know that we can all say like we wanted Wesley to win because he really needs the win and this and that. Okay, fine. I get that they were trying to get Trick Williams to essentially screw him out of a finish. I totally get that. You know, to keep moving the story forward, they feel they had to, you know, have Trick Williams essentially screw Wesley so that they can continue this, you know, continue the story. Okay, I totally get that. But the way that they did it, the rubbing alcohol, first commentary said, is that rubbing alcohol? And then they were like, oh no, it's water. And I was like, water? Then they were like, oh no, it's rubbing alcohol. So they kept going back and forth, right? Like they didn't really know for sure what was going on with the rubbing alcohol or the water or whatever. So the finish basically happened with Trick Williams using rubbing alcohol to rub the face of Wes Lee, thus getting the win with the use of the rubbing alcohol. I hated this. I was like, what? Why? This is so lame. It was so lame. It was just one of those things where it was flat. It wasn't even flat. Flat is like no reaction. This was like a dip, man. I was watching this and I was like, what? Rubbing alcohol? Water? Rubbing alcohol? What? Why? It was so lame. It was so lame, guys. This was freaking lame. I hated this. I hated the ending. And I was so mad too, because again, like I said, I loved the builds to Wesley Trick Williams. I was on board. I was a fan, man. And they like swept it under. They like, oh, I did not like the ending of this match. Okay. Anyways, yes, Wesley needed the win. Sure, I get that. And even if they weren't going to give it to him today, at least screw him in a way that just feels more, I don't know, exciting. That doesn't feel like, oh, well, he got rubbing alcohol in his face. And I get it. I don't want rubbing alcohol in my face. I get it. This could be worse. It could be the whole confetti debacle that we had a couple weeks ago where, was it Wendy Choo throwing confetti? I think it was on, Tiffany Stratton's face? I think it was on Tiffany Stratton's face. She threw confetti in somebody's face and cost them the match. And that was a whole freaking argument that I had like a couple weeks ago. I get it. Rubbing alcohol is definitely worse than confetti. But regardless, it was so lame and the execution was lame. It was just lame all around. So I wasn't a fan of the ending for this. Obviously, this is going to keep going because we did end up seeing Wesley and Trick Williams go at it later on in the main event. We'll talk about that later, but their thing is going to keep going fine. Just none of this hokey rubbing alcohol in the face thing, guys. None of that. Let's see what we got here. This is from Real Deal, who says, I agree, poor ending made champions look weak. Vance Rawlings says, well, lazy BS ending WTF. It was like, here we go. Like, if you were going to give Trick William the win, fine, give it to him. Whatever. I get it. We're moving on with the story. Screw him in a certain way. I don't know what way, but come up with something better than rubbing alcohol. Brandon Rosenz points out that commentary didn't do a good enough job selling the rubbing alcohol. That too, maybe if they would have sold it, man, yeah, if they would have sold it, maybe I would have been like, you know what, oh damn, like that shit's crazy, rubbing alcohol to the face, oh my god, you know. But I didn't get that, and I think the back and forth where they were like, oh, it's rubbing alcohol, and then they were like, oh no, it's water, and I was like, he lost via water, it's got to be the rubbing alcohol. I mean, unless you're drinking water and it goes down the wrong pipe and you start choking and you lose a match, that I can buy. Let's see what people are saying here. This is from Pomi Wrestling. He says, I doubt any of the crowd live could understand what exactly was happening in that ending. I agree. If you're in the live crowd, and granted the place is small, so maybe they heard the commentary saying rubbing alcohol, but then again, probably not, because everybody's going to be talking. Maybe they didn't hear, but I'm assuming if I was in the live crowd, I would have thought like, oh, it was water. I don't know. It was just not the best. Marvin says he feels bad for Wesley. I do too. I really do too. How many times haven't we been on here talking about how, you know, I wasn't a fan of what they were doing with Wesley and Zion Quinn. You know, I just haven't been a fan of anything that they've done with Wesley so far. Aside from that one promo, there hasn't been anything where I'm like, this is it. You know, this is finally, they finally found, you know, they're getting him, you know, they're finally having Wesley stand on his own 2 feet, right? Hasn't happened just yet, man, especially to lose in this manner. Oh God. All right. Let's see what else we got here. Cole. Hey guys, Cole's coming to my wedding. Hey Cole. Cole says baby oil and rubbing alcohol, the two deadliest weapons in WWE. This is true. This is very, very true. So I'll tell you, funny story. My fiance went to Money in the Bank with me, and he was sitting down. He doesn't get to watch, you know, any of these shows because he works. He's got a job, right? His job's not covering wrestling. He's got a real legit job, right? Anyway, so he's sitting there watching Money in the Bank with me, and they're showing the recap of the Austin Theory, Bobby Lashley story, right? And I guess they were talking about the pose off, the pose down, whatever the hell they were calling it. And I was just sitting there, and he turns to me and he goes, Denise, they did a pose off? And I was like, oh, you didn't know? And he was like, no. And I told him, I was like, yeah. And it ended with baby oil. And he was like, what? And then I said, and it was the main event of Raw that night. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. Anyways, but there you go. All right, so let's go ahead and move on from here and see what we got. This is from Too Humble, who says, I was sitting front row. I didn't know it was rubbing alcohol. Oh, you were at the show and you didn't know it was rubbing alcohol. Okay, so there you go. That kind of proves what Pomi was bringing up earlier in the comment section here. All right, so let's go ahead and continue on from here. And let's see. We got a question from Aaron Murray, who says, Denise, I missed a show tonight. Is it worth watching tonight? Let me see. I mean, if you want to see Cora Jade and Roxanne Perez win their titles, I would say watch that match for sure. And I did actually really enjoy, and I haven't talked about it just yet, but I did enjoy Carmella Hayes and Grayson Waller. I wouldn't say go out of your way to watch it, but if you want to go out of your way to watch it, then sure, I would recommend that one as well. All right, but let's go ahead and move on from here because we got a couple more items to get to. After this, we got Wendy Chu and Tiffany Stratton. They continue their beef. I actually like the way that they started this off with Tiffany Stratton. She was getting her makeup done, and Wendy Chu essentially comes in, attacks her while she's getting her makeup done, throws all the powder in her face, wheels her out of her chair, throws her. She like pretty much beats her all over backstage. They get to the ring. She pretty much dominates this match because she had the upper hand during this. Once they got to the ring, it was in picture in picture. So by the time we came back, it was like actually unfolding in the ring. So a lot of the stuff that happened occurred during that picture in picture. So if you weren't paying attention to the picture in picture, you probably missed a couple of things, because I know I did. Anyway, so afterwards, there was a moment where during this match where Tiffany Stratton rips off the fingernail of Wendy Chu. And let me tell you something, guys. I've had the fingernail ripped off of me, not by somebody else, but by myself. And it actually hurts, okay? Getting your fingernail ripped off legitimately hurts. Even, yes, a fake fingernail getting ripped off of you legitimately hurts, okay? Because you have the freaking and depending on how she got her nails done too, okay? If she went to a salon, they use the good stuff, man. So getting that thing ripped off, not fun. If you did it yourself, still not fun. Those things be working. Those glues, they be working. Shout out to Tiffany's gear, by the way. Her gear that she's been bringing out across her matches, the pastels, the really cutesy girly girl looks. Love it. We end up seeing Tiffany Stratton get the win in this match. And to be honest, I did not mind it whatsoever because I'm really starting to like Tiffany Stratton. Like the last, I would say, maybe 2-3 shows from NXT 2.0, I've become a bigger Tiffany Stratton fan. So I was actually glad that she got the win here. I just feel like Wendy Chu and Tiffany Stratton, two different types of characters, totally different, but I'm loving both of them in two totally different ways. I just think there's a lot of potential with Tiffany Stratton, and I feel like they're seeing that, and we're starting to see that unfold a little bit more. So I'm just here to enjoy this ride here. I'm a fan of Tiffany Stratton, guys. Really, I do. All right, so let's go ahead and kind of go on from here and see what people are saying. Xeno Hour says that the second hour is really good and recommends actually watching the second hour of the show for those of you who were asking here. All right. Juan Ortega quotes me, those glues, they be working. They be working, man. You know, I bought one of those packages to put nails on, those like stick-on ones with the glue, and I kind of got really creeped out by it because if the glue even gets anywhere near your eyes, like you can go blind or something. And nobody talks about that unless you actually read like the fine print. And the glue was getting all over my hands. And I was like, nah, bro, I ain't about to be touching my eye by accident. And then, you know, be like, ah, you know. Anyways, moving on. Apollo Crews has his promo in the ring. He's interrupted by Giovanni Vinci. And Giovanni Vinci basically says that he is the one guy in NXT who can keep up with Apollo Crews. And he is the only person who can outperform Apollo Crews. And I got to tell you, man. So they already announced this match for next week on NXT. And I'm happy that they're doing this for them. Both Apollo Crews and Giovanni Vinci, man, they need a program. They need something. They need a purpose. And this is it. They're feuding with each other. They both need it. They both need it badly. This is good. This is fine. I'm not like, oh my God, this is the hottest feud ever by any means. But I just feel like Apollo Crews really needs a purpose on this roster. And so does Giovanni Vinci, because coming out and beating jobbers at, you know, is not going to last forever. So I'm glad that they finally brought them together and are doing something with them. Like, there's really not much else to add here. Their match is going to happen. Good. It gives them something to do. Bless their hearts. Bless their hearts, everybody. Before we continue on, everybody, it is time. Damn it. Okay, here we go. It is time to rumble. Oh, man. I really messed this up. Let's get ready to rumble. That's what I wanted to do. In case you haven't heard, Wrestle Rumble is one of the coolest places to win some money during wrestling pay-per-views or premium live events. For all major WWE and AEW shows, you can enter their Pick'em contest to win some money, and of course, other cool prizes. It's just another way that you can add an extra layer of fun to your wrestling watching routine. Get more information about how you guys can enter their Pick'em contest over at WrestleRumble.com. I love Wrestle Rumble. Their next one is probably going to be for SummerSlam, and that's going to be at the end of the month. So probably maybe a week and a half before SummerSlam, the Wrestle Rumble SummerSlam Pick'em contest will open, and that will be happening over at WrestleRumble.com. Com. Please, guys, give them some love. Hit them up on Twitter or on Instagram, whatever your favorite social media platform is. And please give them some love. Just let them know that you heard about them here on this podcast, and that they know that their investment in me, investment in sponsoring this podcast, was actually worth it. So thank you so much to WrestleRumble.com. Damn it. I really try to not mess up those things, but sometimes it just happens, guys. All right. So let's go ahead and move on from here. And next match of the night. This is the fourth match of the night. This was Carmella Hayes versus Grayson Waller for the NXT North American Championship. This was legitimately my favorite match of the night. I thought this match was pretty damn good. I'm a fan of both of these guys. I just really loved the pacing of all of this. I love the pacing of all of this because I do think that Carmella Hayes can do a little bit more of that high-flying style, just a little bit better than Grayson Waller. But Grayson Waller, he can keep up, man. He can keep up. So kind of seeing them both go at it together, I thought was pretty damn good. I really, really loved, there was a couple moments that I loved from Grayson Waller. When he did the spinning fist into Carmella Hayes, I thought that was good. I loved the sliding clothesline from Grayson Waller to Hayes, from the inside of the ring to the outside of the ring. I thought that looked pretty impressive. Honestly, this was good. And they even went to the mat for a while. And after they were there, they came back up. They picked it up once again. I thought this match had a good flow. And then we did end up seeing Trick Williams try to get involved to help out his guy. But of course, Wesley came out and basically attacked him. And so that kind of tied into what they were to their match earlier and how he screwed him with the rubbing alcohol and all of that. Afterwards, Carmelo still ends up winning and retaining the championship. Perfectly fine. This was a competitive match. I didn't want to see a title change here. I'm a fan of Grayson Waller, but I just don't think that it was time to end Carmella Hayes' NXT North American Championship run. So this was perfectly fine. It gave him a good match. Fine across the board. Checked all the boxes for me. Good stuff here. So I was a fan of this. This was probably the match that if you want to watch NXT 2.0, like let's say you just didn't watch, if you want to watch NXT 2.0, I would say that this would be the match for you to watch. I thought it was great. Marvin says Carmella Hayes versus Waller was a great match. Completely agree as well. We got Christopher who says that Apollo Crews versus Giovanni Vinci is going to be a great match. I think so too. So good for them. Honestly, good for them to even get that opportunity there. And let's go ahead and see what else we got here. This is from Brandon, who says that he loved the presentation of Melo as a babyface here as well. Zeno Hour points out that there was no wasted motion in this match. Completely agree. Power Driver Finisher says Wes popping out of nowhere. He did. It was good timing, honestly, especially because he came in through the crowd as well. He could have easily been stalled by like one fan. Like if one fan would have just gone like popped out and been like, hey, yo, would have ruined that timing there. But either way, it worked out. All right, guys, let's go ahead and move on from here. After this, we got the Creed Brothers versus Strong and Kemp for the NXT Tag Team Championships. I didn't like this match. I thought this match was very, very forgettable. Like, I didn't think there was much to even talk about here. Like, I wasn't necessarily too over the moon about it. I thought it could have been better. We saw some nice, showcase. We saw, Damon Kemp, he looked fine. He's been looking fine, but there was nothing that I thought was, had me over the moon by any means. It wasn't necessarily like, I think this match could have been better. I think maybe they didn't have enough time. The last two matches did kind of feel a little bit rushed. So maybe that's what it was. I felt this match could have been so much better. There just really wasn't anything there. I think that, probably this isn't going to be the last time we get this match. So maybe this was just a quick little tease, but no. I mean, Creed Brothers get their win. Cool. But other than that, this was a completely forgettable match to me. And the Diamond Mine is legitimately just like a troubled relationship, and they just can't find a way to officially break it off, end the relationship. I'm so and totally over it. The Cannonball was good. Yeah, the Cannonball was fine. Thank you for pointing that out. But other than that, there ain't nothing much else that I can add. Nothing much else. All right, so let's go ahead and move on from here. After this, I kind of mentioned this earlier, but we did get a tease for a new person coming into NXT 2.0. We always got new people coming into NXT 2.0, guys. That is the theme of the night of the show. We got new people always coming at us left and right. We got name changes galore. You name it, it's happening. Anyway, so this new person is going by Axiom, and he is a mathematician. It's a mathematician, and everyone is guessing that this is going to be A-Kid. Now, A-Kid we have seen on NXT already, and then we just kind of stopped seeing him. Like, he came in, and he was red hot and doing good stuff, and, you know, everybody was on board, and then we kind of just stopped seeing him, and a lot of people are assuming that this is going to be his reinvention, his new persona on NXT 2.0, and unless anybody has any other predictions, it seems that 99.9% of the people believe that this is a kid. But let's see what we got here. Yes, for those of you guys asking if I already talked about the QR code, that was earlier on in the show. However, if you have some brilliant predictions, please feel free to share them. But we already talked about that earlier. All right, guys. And Xenowire says we got a riddle, a theory, and now an axiom. My God. My God. All right. Good for him. He's entertaining. I like A-Kid. He's entertaining. Sure. I think he'll still be entertaining if he comes out as a mathematician. And just, oh God, I really hope they don't do math. Oh, I really hope they don't do something with Andre Chase here. No, I hope not. Oh no, that will kill me. I just hope they don't harness too much. I hope they don't just focus too much on the math stuff, because I'll lose it. I'll lose it every week, guys. I'll lose it every week. A-Kid is basically the accountant, says Xeno Hour. Oh, man. Man. Isaac Looper says, what about Steiner math? Well, Steiner math, I'll tell you. If it's Steiner math, I'll take it. Any other math, out the door. All right. Next week, matches that have been announced, and we already talked about this earlier, Roxanne Perez versus Mandy Rose for the NXT Women's Championship, Apollo Crews versus Giovanni Vinci, singles match next week. Now, main event time, Cameron Grimes versus Bron Breakker for the NXT Championship. I tweeted this out and I'm going to repeat it again. I'm not going to lie to you all. A huge part of me was kind of hoping that it would be Cameron Grimes today. I think the reason why I say that is a lot of the back-to-back feuds that Bron Breakker has had has slowly killed my interest in Bron Breakker as champion. They've just slowly been like, my heart was full with him as champion, and they just slowly kept taking pieces off, and I'm to the point where I'm ready to bring somebody else in, because it just, all the Dolph Ziggler stuff, I wasn't a fan. The Joe Gacy stuff, I wasn't a fan. Oh, they just kind of killed my interest in Bron as NXT champion. They killed my interest there. And I, you know, I did say that Cameron Grimes and Bron Breakker was legitimately the first thing that I actually liked. And I do feel that way. I feel that way. Like, that is the first thing I've legitimately liked for Bron Breakker. But also, I was like, damn, what if they just, like, I started romanticizing the idea of Cameron Grimes as NXT champion. And once I did that, I realized that I wanted to see it more. So that's kind of where I was at. I mean, obviously, I didn't really think it was going to happen, though. It was something that I wanted to see, but that didn't mean I really actually believed it was going to happen. So, Bron Breakker. But let me talk a little bit about this match here. Great clothesline from Bron Breakker. Good stuff there. Love the cannonball from Grimes. That was from Grimes to Breakker, excuse me. That was awesome. Bron Breakker doing the Frankensteiner. Phenomenal. Got a huge reaction from the crowd. Awesome. Oh, and then right after that, he went for the pin, and it ended up being a near fall. Cameron Grimes does the cave-in, goes for the pin. It's another near fall. Bron hits the spear, finally gets the win for this match. The last couple of minutes, this match was perfectly fine. The last couple of minutes were really good. And after this, I'm like, okay, fine, Bron Breakker won. Cool, whatever. That's what I expected, right? And then afterwards, he's, you know, walking backwards and he's exiting. And I will tell you this, I did not expect what actually happens next. So as Bron Breakker is walking out and he's celebrating retaining the championship, he is attacked. He is attacked by the person that was promoted to come next week, but they tricked us. It was a swerve all along. And it was JD McDonagh. I still can't say his last name. Jordan Devlin, who's now going by JD McDonagh. He comes out. He attacks Bron Breakker from behind and ends up putting him through the table that was set on the by the stage area with all of the food fixins. And so he puts him through the table, and now we know that he's moving on into this program with him. So personally, I am very, very happy that we now know who Bron Breakker is going to be feuding with next. I do think they could have probably told a little bit of a longer program with Cameron Grimes. Like, the fact that the Cameron Grimes program was shorter than the one with Joe Gacy and Bron Breakker kind of bums me out. It really bums me out there. I think their program could have been just as long as the Joe Gacy one or around the same time. But whatever, it's fine. We're moving on. Okay, I'm all here for Bron Breakker. I'm re-winning my heart back into him as NXT champion. I like the guy. I just need the championship reign to start feeling more interesting. So that's where I'm at with all of this. I was very glad that we know who his next opponent's going to be. This was a great debut for him, for JD as well. A great debut here. Great way to make an entrance attacking Bron Breakker. Hell freaking yeah. You don't make a statement other than attacking the actual champion. So I like that. That was all perfectly great stuff. Now, let's see what you, the people, are saying. I'm just laughing at the donut comments. Let's see what else we got here. King of Wake of Mundo says, when Bron lost to Ziggler, his character was destroyed. I kind of agree. Him losing to Ziggler, that bummed me out, man. That really bummed me out. That whole back and forth thing that we did bummed me out. And then afterwards, going into this with Joe Gacy, that was not the best way to bring the man back to life. So anyways, that's kind of how I felt about that as well. Paul Driver Finisher, he wants to give a little bit more love to the actual tag team matches. I gave it no love whatsoever. Paul Driver Finisher says, not that forgettable to me. I liked Roderick slapping Julius and Julius wanting to get his hands on Roddy and Roddy constantly having to make a tag. I thought it was a very good storytelling match. Bless you, Paul Driver Finisher, but I just did not care about that match. All right, let's see what else we got here. Paul Driver finishes this main event, main championship for big meaty men, mid-card titles for more agile and quick-paced wrestlers. Brandon Rosen sends in a super chat saying, Bron continues to look like a weak champion despite the long run. I don't understand the booking at all. Just send him to Raw or SmackDown already. And this is unfortunate, guys. This is unfortunate because, you know, Bron Breakker has certainly a lot of things that make you a fan of his. It's nothing really to do with Bron. It's more so the stories that he's being put in, and obviously the booking of Bron Breakker. That is what has, you know, kind of halted a lot of that momentum. A lot of what the aura that he had coming into NXT 2.0 was like slowly stripped away with some of the decisions that were made. And That was mainly my issue with it, honestly. That was really my issue with it. Like, I'm totally on board with Bron Breakker being champion. I was never not on board with him being champion. Never. It's just more so of like, make it interesting, though. Make it interesting for, you know, a good chunk of people. Thank you so much, Brandon Rosen, for sending in this super chat here. All righty. And I think we got most of these comments in regards to all of these, matches and whatnot. Before I'll let you guys pull in any last thoughts, final comments, feel free to send them in. But before I do, I am going to read this comment from Sheldon, who says, the North American title is more important than the NXT championship because of Bron. Carmella makes the NA title super important. I kind of see them right now the same, honestly. Well, you know, because I didn't like seeing Carmelo. Well, that's not true. So I did like seeing Cameron Grimes as NXT North American champion. I think it would have felt more exciting had the reign for Carmelo Hayes gone a little bit longer and not had Cameron Grimes. But I get why they did that with Cameron Grimes, because they were setting him up to go after Bron Breakker. I get all of that. I get some of the decisions that were made there. But I feel like right now, the NXT championship and the NXT North American championship, for the most part, I mean, there may be weeks where one is above the other, but I feel like they're kind of on the same level right now, which is not good. It shouldn't be that way, right? It should not be that way right now, or it shouldn't be that way. But kind of to me, they're kind of on par is how they feel right now. All right. So, all right. Juan Ortega says, Denise, what do you think is next for Cameron Grimes? This is a good question, Juan, because I legitimately do not know. Like, this is a guy that he has so much character, so much personality. We know he can do the babyface stuff. We know he can do the heel stuff. He would be great on the main roster. They're not giving him the NXT championship. He just won the NXT North American championship and lost that really quickly. So what else is next? I can't even give you an answer. I mean, unless he goes to Raw and SmackDown, which he should have gone a long time ago, I don't know. I legitimately do not know. I feel like he's a guy that's kind of been a little bit everywhere on NXT. And of course, you know, not winning the NXT championship, but that would have been really nice to see, I think, especially for a guy that, you know, was part of the black and gold era of NXT and did a lot of good stuff there as well. But there you go. I'm sorry I couldn't answer this question, Juan. We have a super chat here from DJ Cap Team Mystery. Thank you so much for sending in a super chat. It says, you think WWE will ever collaborate with AEW? Rumors running rampant. Man, I feel like the WWE, I mean, this could be like, this is a totally different conversation for a totally other time. But just because you did send in a super chat, I'll at least give you somewhat of an answer here. I don't think so. My truth answer is I don't think so. I don't know what else to say. I don't think so. If it ever happens, maybe down the line, right now, no. In terms of like rumors running rampant, there's always rumors running around. There's always all of this talk and stuff, you know, wherever you're getting your rumors and seeing all of this. I, for the most part, don't see any of that type of stuff. I try to steer away from like, I always check to see where certain stuff is coming from before I care to pay any more attention to it, right? Like before I decide if I want to waste my time on an uncertain rumor, right? I just feel like right now it doesn't feel like that's going to happen. There's just too much. And even if it did, let's just flatter it. Let's just say it did. Can you imagine like all the people that feel very, very like defensive on both sides of both brands and then all of a sudden seeing this collaboration? Let's just say they did a Forbidden Door. I'm just throwing a wild ass idea out there. Let's just say there was WWE, AEW, Forbidden Door. Can you imagine what people's reactions would be, especially the AEW fans that really hate WWE and the WWE fans who really hate AEW, because they're there. They're definitely there. Can you imagine that? Now that would be insane. But anyways, thank you so much for sending in the super chat. Sorry for that really lame answer. All right, let's see what else we got here. This is from Robin, who sends in their analysis on NXT, saying, NXT was great tonight. Good and entertaining matches, great characters, and no 20-minute BS choreographed dance moves or spots, whatever you may call it. It was a good show today. I definitely agree with that. I thought it was a pretty solid show today. Gave us a lot to talk about, which makes me very damn happy. All right, so let's go ahead and I think I got most of everything here, guys. I got most of everything here. Tony says, book it, Nick and Tony Khan. He should just put book it for the cons. All right, guys, that was NXT 2.0 here today, the Great American Bash. Thank you guys, as always, so much for tuning in. Please do not forget that this Wednesday, I will be live tomorrow to talk about AEW Dynamite. And then Friday, I will be back to talk about SmackDown and Rampage. Also, if you haven't yet, please head on over to my YouTube channel, youtube.com/Denise Salcedo. I have officially surpassed 60,000 subscribers. Ooh, so happy. I officially surpassed that. So please continue going there and support all of the AEW New Japan Forbidden Door scrums are up there. I have a brilliant freaking interview with Rocky Romero that is just so awesome. There's so much information there. It's literally my favorite interview that I've done in a very, very long time. If you are really interested in how things worked between AEW and New Japan Pro Wrestling talking about the Forbidden Door, go check out that interview. That's the one where I think you're going to get a lot of legitimate insight on all of that. On top of that, I have interviews with Malakai Black, Tasha Steelz, Brian Pillman Jr., Bianca Belair, Belair from this weekend. That was my favorite interview that I got from Money in the Bank, that interview with Bianca Belair. She is a star, a freaking star, and you can totally see that in that interview there. And there's just so much more to come on that channel. I'm really happy because I'm starting to get more sponsorships and brand deals for that channel. So thank you guys for your support. Please head on over there. And on top of that, do not forget to like this video and subscribe to F4W Online. See you guys tomorrow for AEW Dynamite coverage. Bye, everyone.